Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad that you are with us this morning. So usually after Easter, we'd start a new series, but the series that we're in is just so relevant, and it's a great reminder for us following Easter. So Easter is just often a very vivid reminder of why we're here each week and why we follow Jesus to begin with, from the taking of communion to remind us why we need Jesus, to the suffering Jesus endured for the forgiveness of our sins, and his willingness to be obedient to the Father, to the climax of Jesus defeating death on the cross and rising from the tomb, the great resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And that's why we must keep talking. That should be the catalyst for why we do not relent. No church will grow if its members are not willing to share the gospel, to tell the story of Christ. In fact, we have to keep talking, like Paul and Barnabas. Too often, it is fear of rejection or persecution that keeps us from telling the world about what we believe. We need endurance to continually share the message of the gospel, to fight the good fight, to run the race. And today our message will center around the need to endure and press on. It's far too often people just want an easy way out. Excuse me. Endurance is something we see less of these days. Consider this. How many of the more mature people in the room recall our parents and grandparents sticking it out in one job unless they were forced to leave? Yeah. Yeah. Yet today, we find very few people last in a job for more than 3 years before moving on. In fact, most are looking for more money or a better opportunity constantly. Constantly. It is rare we find people remaining with one company, with one vision, or even with one mission. Even in some of the best companies, you would think like companies like Apple, with all these tremendous fringe benefits by working, the retention rate is only 5 years. 5 years. They're on the high end of the spectrum. Google and Netflix follow them. Huge companies, right? Great, great benefits. 3.1 years. Facebook, Airbnb, Dropbox, and others max out at between two and two and a half years. Max retention for their employees. Think about that. That is a far contrast from a lifelong career with a company to 2 years with a company. And think, I mean, just, and look at the perks. It's not like, you know, these companies aren't nice. Look, when your parents went to work, what did they go to work for? They went to work for a paycheck, maybe some vacation, and probably health care. Sick days. Okay? That was it. They get all that, plus some of the other perks that they have, or they have gyms on site. Some places actually cater 3 meals a day for them. 3 meals a day catered for them. They have cell phone reimbursement. Oh, that's huge. I mean, yep. The list goes on and on. There's rides. I mean, you name a perk, most of these companies have them. And they're only retaining employees for a max of 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And I want you to think about this. When you go back to the old days, our parents, they were thrilled mm-hmm. to work for 2 weeks vacation mm-hmm. and health benefits and some sick days. And of course their paycheck. Thrill! That was like, yes! Boy, an occasional employee appreciation day was like over the top, right? We get hot dogs today! Woo-hoo! We're coming in to work on a Saturday for free hot dogs! My dad's company did that. But, you know, they could give away little things here and there. But seriously, there's little people are willing to endure today. That's just the truth. But this is something the church needs desperately. We need people who are willing to endure. Now, I want to just step back into the book of Acts today, in Acts chapter 14, and we're going to pick up with Paul and Barnabas. And I want you to take a look at what they endured. I mean, we remember some from last week, and I'll review that in a few minutes, but we're going to pick up in verse 19 here. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open to that, and let's follow along. Then some Jews came from Antioch Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas leave for Derbe. They preached the gospel in that city and won large numbers of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, saying, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and they preached. And when they preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila. Man, that's some places, right? From Attila, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. And on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there for a long time with the disciples. Let's pray. Father, we look at this account and we can see your hand all over it. But what else we see is we see a willingness to endure. We see two men who pressed on, who persevered, who didn't let the obstacles in front of them hold them back. Instead, what it did was propel them forward, and they were going forward for your mission. So Lord, I pray today that that would inspire us on the tail end of the Easter message, the reminder of what you did on the cross, that this would encourage us to endure, to do the hard things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's review a little bit, all right? What had been happening up to this point? So you back up in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas had been were on a missionary journey, right? They had been sent on this. Do you remember why they even went? Do you remember why they were called? Why they even decided to go on this missionary journey? Does anybody remember? Well, if you look in Acts 13, verse 2, it said there that the Holy Spirit was the one who had sent them. They didn't come up with this. The church didn't come up with this. The Holy Spirit said, "Hey, I want you guys. I'm setting you two apart. You go." And you would think, well, okay, they're going. They're going. And the Holy Spirit's behind us, man. Nothing's going to stop us. How many of you ever felt that? The Holy Spirit's behind me. I got it all. I'm gone. I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah, right? But it wasn't long before some opposition came up against them, some persecution. If you look at verse 50, it said there that the Jewish leaders had incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the men in the city, and all of a sudden there's this persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they're expelled. Hey, get out of here. You're not allowed in here anymore. It's kind of like you're not welcome here. Bye. But it didn't stop them. Paul and Barnabas pressed on, but at every stop there was this opposition of some sort, and yet they endured it. They didn't allow it to stop them. In Antioch, the opposition became so strong that a plan was devised to stone them. But before it could happen, they left from there and they went down to Lystra, right? And once again there, they performed a miracle. They healed the man who had been lame from birth. However, the miracle backfired. You recall that? It backfired on him, and the people were like, "Oh, gods! Paul and Barnabas are gods! We're going to worship him!" And Paul's like, "Oh my word!" Barnabas is like, "No!" They rip their clothes and tell him, "Stop, stop, stop!" Paul redirected them in Acts 14, 18, where we left off 2 weeks ago. But barely. And you think, "Phew, avoided that, right?" Whew. And then verse 19 and 20. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They converted them to what they wanted. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city. the next day, he and Barnabas left for Derby. Let's talk about opposition. Most of us would think it's entirely too much effort to travel 3 hours, much less a day, to confront someone. Right? I mean, would you do that? Would you really, I mean, you got something wrong with somebody or you don't like what somebody's saying. Would you really spend an entire day traveling to go confront them? Probably not. Probably not. But yet, that's what the Jews did. Antioch was 20 miles away, so that's a 3-hour walk. And Iconium was 100 miles away. On foot, that's a long journey. Endurance must have been steep in these people, in this culture, even back then, because even the opposition showed endurance to achieve their goal. Look, they had set the plan back in Antioch to stone him, right? And they're like, we're going to see this through. We're going to follow through on this. We're going to get him. So they show up on the scene, and they take this crowd who were earlier considering Paul a god, and now I convinced them that he should be stoned. Now, I bet Paul never saw this coming. You know? He's got a crowd that's going worshiping him. Yeah! God, Paul the God! Woo! Look at the healer! And the next thing you know, they're picking up stones. The reality is everything in our lives can change in an instant. You know, one of the things that we take for granted, I really believe that we take for granted in this country, is the freedom of religion. The freedom to worship the God whom we choose to worship. In some countries, that's not a freedom. And there's constant opposition. And one day, in an instant, that could change. In fact, the Bible pretty much tells us that in one day, it is going to change. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be removed, the Antichrist is going to come in, and there's going to be this oppression on anyone who wants to believe in God. So we shouldn't be surprised. Not only that, the Bible also tells us that persecution and opposition will come. It will come. It's not a matter of if. It is coming. And it could come in an instant. I mean, right now it seems like at least the country is sort of for God, right? I mean, our president talks about God. He's pushing Christian agendas. Those things seem to be happening. There's some good things happening for the church right now. But in the background, there's a stirring. In the background, there is a bunch of people stirring up a movement, just like here. And it isn't long before they're going to win over the crowd. And the freedoms that we take for granted may not be there anymore. The question is, what will we do when that comes? The question that we need to ask is, are we committed to the goal for which we have decided upon? See, Jesus never walked up to anyone and said, hey, give me your arm. Give me your arm. And he took their arm and twisted it behind their back and asked them, hey, I want you to commit yourselves to me or I'm not going to let go. It's not like a game of mercy. Jesus never did that. He said, come to me. I'm not going to take your arm. I'm not twisted. Come to me. You are heavy laden. And I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to be the one there for you. I'm not forcing anything on you. See, the thing is that we've all had a choice to either accept Christ or reject Christ. But I'm going to submit today that once we do, we need to be fully committed to him. Jay Adams, a Christian counselor, says this. He says, in counseling week after week, I continually encounter one outstanding failure among Christians. A lack of what the Bible calls endurance. They give up. They give up. Think about that. We go before a counselor, they give you things to do, and what he sees is a lack of a willingness to follow through, a lack of a willingness to endure, to get through whatever you're going through and do better. See, I think the key to success is to endure. That's what his study says. We will never achieve any goal. Hear me, church. Mm-hmm. We will never achieve any goal without the willingness to endure. We'll want to throw our arms up and quit. I want you to just think about this stark comparison of the people today versus the people then. Even a few generations ago, there is a lack of endurance for many. I mean, Paul suffered a stoning and didn't miss a beat. After being stoned, he's dragged outside the city and left for dead. Now, I don't know about you, but after being stoned and left for dead, wouldn't you want to quit? I think I would. Yet, look at what he did. He got up. He got up and went back into the city. Where did he get stoned at? In the city. Where were his persecutors at? In the city. Where should Paul have gone? To Derby. But that's not where he went. He went back into the city. Come on. We need some Pauls up in here. And I'm talking about the church. I mean, who does that? Who goes back and faces those who stone him? I mean, what would the motivation for that even be? Why would Paul even be willing to do that? Why would he be willing to endure that? And then you think, okay, well, wait, he goes to Derby the next day, but why wait? He's already outside the city. Why not just go? And Luke gives us no clear explanation. So we're left to kind of guess. Why would he do this? I think Paul went back into the city because all those other believers who had been listening to him watched him get stoned. They watched him get dragged out of the city and left for dead. And Paul picked his stoned body, his broken body, back up off that ground. And he marched right back in there to do what? To encourage those believers. And we're going to see some more of that later on. Because I think Paul had in mind, this isn't about me. This is about the mission of Christ. He wanted to show them that God is bigger than any persecution or suffering they would face. I'm a firm believer that's what he did that for. Even though the scriptures don't tell us that, what other reason is there? It wasn't like he was going to go gather his belongings. He could have sent somebody else to do that. So the question we must ask ourselves is, are we willing to endure in the mission of God, the mission God has for us when persecution comes? Are we willing to endure in the mission that God has for us when persecution comes? That's a question that each of us have to answer. Now there's a pastor, a Colombian pastor, named Lupercio Taba. And I don't know what kind of church he was in, but this is a tropical region. So most tropical region churches don't have, like, they're open air. They kind of have the windows where there's screening or one of them or whatever to keep the flies out, but it's like an open air kind of church. So the windows are wide open. If people are walking by, they can hear what's going on inside. So Pastor Taba is in there preaching his sermon. And opposition comes up. Guy comes to the window and says, "If you don't stop preaching, I'm going to shoot you." And he stands there with a gun. Well, before anyone can apprehend him, he takes 4 shots. Pastor doesn't stop preaching. He keeps going. They look on the wall after all this happens. There's a shot that went by the left of his head, a shot that went by the right of his head, lodged into the wall. And I guess he was raising his arms because there was a shot that went under the left arm and a shot that went under the right arm, and there, it lodged in the wall behind him, and he never got hit. The question is, what are we willing to endure? He never even missed a beat. He never even stopped. My goodness, I thought, my goodness, something happens in the tech thing here, and I'm all thrown off. And here's a guy getting shot at, and he's just standing there preaching the word. Wow, is right. Wow. His willingness to endure is inspiring. So the question we need to seriously consider is, what are we willing to endure to keep talking about Jesus? What? I mean, is it a little ridicule? Is it someone not liking you? Is it being uncomfortable? What is it? Is it worth losing a friend? Worth upsetting a coworker? Is it worth a job? What are you willing to endure for Jesus? Like, Paul didn't just, like, you know, return the city and then the next day run away. That's not what he did. Look at what he did in Derbe, despite being pelted with stones one day earlier. Acts 14, verses 21 through 22. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, saying, "We must go through many hardships to endure and to enter, the kingdom of God." Have we said we can't endure? I mean, we can't withstand the words or actions of those who stand in opposition of us? I want you to think about this. Paul got up. He goes back into the city. The next day, he goes to Derbe. Now, how many of you have been hit hard to the point of the next day you wake up and it's sore and there's a bruise? Like, you've tripped over something, you know, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, where did that come from?" And you touch it. "Oh, that hurts." Yeah, right? He walked to Derbe from Lystra. And then gets up the next day and starts preaching. I mean, I don't know where the stones hit him, but you can't protect everywhere with only two hands. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You might be able to protect your head and other areas. Okay? But that's it. And even your hands. I mean, I've had bruises on my hands. Right? Yeah. And what'd he do? He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. The gospel was what had got him stoned. Paul preached the gospel. And not without result either. Look, a large number of disciples were won. And I want to submit this, that sometimes it's our endurance through the trials and tribulations that reveal the triumph. God wants to use our trials and tribulations. He wants to show that we can endure them so that He can show that we're going to triumph. That He's going to triumph. Because this life is not about us. Too often, we let the trials redirect us instead of encouraging us. I think I need to say that again. Too often, we let the trials redirect us instead of encouraging us. In other words, "Oh, I got to get off this path because this is too hard. There's, I don't know what this is about, but I shouldn't be here." Instead of, "Okay, what's God doing in this?" I need to be reminded of this myself all the time. All the time. I got to remind myself that, "Lord, I don't want to be redirected." And there are people around me, thankfully, that remind me of this. And say, "John, you're on a course for a reason. God's got you where He's got you for a season. You don't know what He's doing, but He's using this time for you. Don't give up. Don't relent. Endure. I am thankful for those people, those brothers who encourage me in those moments where I want to redirect. And look, if we share the gospel, if we did that, how many of us would be like, well, that person doesn't want it and we're not going back there. I'm not going to bother talking to them anymore. I'm done with that person. That's, you know, oh, they don't want it. Tough doo-doos. You know? But Paul and Barnabas didn't do that. They didn't say, we can't return to Lystra where Paul was stoned, or Iconium where the plot was formed, or even Antioch where they were expelled from the region. No! What do? They returned to encourage those who believed, and they did not let it change anything in their mission. Their mission was unchanged through all that persecution, through all that suffering. They were willing to endure whatever and to use their suffering. What did they use their suffering to? To instruct and inspire them to remain in the faith. This message of enduring suffering is not often talked about. Unfortunately, in many churches, that's not what churches preach today. Many churches are preaching, be happy. Be successful. Have high self-esteem because you're worthy. You think I'm kidding? Look it up. There are tremendous ministries. I'm not talking about little churches. I'm talking about tremendous ministries based on this mindset. But that's clearly not what Paul's saying, is it? He's back in these places and he's encouraging people. They know what happened to Paul and he's reminding them in that hardships will come. But that's part of being able to enter into the kingdom of God. Think about this. Paul, Stephen, other disciples, they all faced hardships. And then we know they're in good company because Jesus did too, didn't he? So we need to ask, what does it mean to remain true to the faith? Paul said he's encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Maybe the best way to answer this question is to define what it means not to remain in the faith. To not remain true would imply that we relent when opposition, suffering, and persecution comes. Not remaining true, the faith says, we can no longer endure whatever is before us and we give up. We run away. We turn away. We let go of that passion we once had that even got us to the point where we were. Enduring faith is a faith that is driven by hardships, not drowned by them. Because they draw us closer to Christ. Hardships draw us closer to Christ. But we have to remain focused on what we've been called to. And look, after Paul and Barnabas kept talking, they just continued to keep talking. They start to build up the church in Acts 14:23. They appoint elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. See, some argue Paul and Barnabas were not actually doing this. They weren't actually the ones appointing elders in the church. And they're probably right, because in fact, in the Greek, it lends itself, the word there, lends itself appointed to the fact that the church was actually hands-on. They were involved in appointing the elders. So why even mention the fact that Paul and Barnabas were appointing them? Because I believe that these were new churches. And we need to be careful when we start a new church. We draw in someone who's going to be an elder in the church. They need to be guided. They need to be led, taught, trained up. And Paul and Barnabas were likely the ones seeking the Spirit to lead them by fasting and prayer, asking for discernment on those that they were even, you know, appointing. Are these the men? Are these the ones we should be depending on to start these churches? Likely these were the pastors of these new churches. Let me tell you, I need some people praying and fasting for me. I do. Because the enemy wants to defeat pastors. I'll tell you that right now. He wants to squash them. So I'll take all the fasting and prayer you guys want to give. What we need to remember is that we've said yes to Jesus. We need to remember that each of us has been commissioned for his work. That we have a calling and that we cannot relent. We are called to endure no matter the obstacle or opposition that stands before us. That reminder is what should help us to endure when those hard times come. Now look, Paul and Barnabas could have easily given up, couldn't they? They could have easily quit. They could have easily just went back and said, you know, we can't. No one would have judged them. For goodness sake, Paul was stoned and left for dead. Who could argue with him? What do you mean you're giving up? Oh, you can't handle a little stoning? Come on. Nobody would have argued that. I mean, we face persecution. You face persecution. We understand. Oh, you know, I understand why you walk away. That's what they'd hear. But there was something in them that pressed them to endure. That pressed them to finish the mission God had called them to. I think their perspective was what did it. Because they didn't let their trials stop them. They allowed their trials to project them. They allowed their suffering and their persecution to press them into the mission instead of press them away from the mission. Now, I want you to just think about what they endured and how far they went. So, verses 26 through or 24 through 26 are going to give us a list of the places they visited, and then I'm going to put a map up on the screen. And I just want you to look at this map. So, verses 24 through 26. After going through Bethsaida, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila, and then from Attila they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Now look at this map. So they start out in Pisidia, up here, and then Pamphylia, they go there, and then they shoot over to Perga, and then back to Attila, and then back to Antioch. Now we think the Antioch's over in Syria, over on the left. Because that's where they started from. Think about that. Look how far they traveled. Think of all they endured to build up the church. Paul pressed on. He endured it all. And through it all, he kept talking. I'll bet you one of the places that Paul protected when he was being stoned was his mouth. Because he knew he needed it to continue the work of the Lord. And even upon his final return in these last two verses, look at what happens. On arriving there, they gather the church together and they report all that God had done. He kept on talking. He's like, I'm going to report. They report all that God had done through them and how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there for a long time with the disciples. So the question is this, should we be any different? Should we be any different? Shouldn't our lives be a history of our faithfulness to God? Our obedience when it didn't make sense? Shouldn't our story be the same? Shouldn't it encourage the saints? I'm sure that there's things we've gone through when people would understand, you should have quit. You should have given up. Nobody would have questioned it. Maybe it was a disease. Maybe it was a valley. Whatever it is, but persecution, a rough family life, whatever. I mean, there's plenty of people that I could say, man, I just don't know why you continue in that. I wouldn't. We could say that about a lot of situations. But everyone in this room, everyone listening on Facebook, I want to encourage you to know that your story isn't over. And even if you jumped off the path at one point, now's the time to go, I'm back. I want to get back on. I want to endure whatever God has for me. Maybe you're in the Facebook audience today and you're thinking, I don't even know what he's talking about because I don't even know what path he's talking about. Well, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to be yours. I want to be part of your journey. And I want to experience obedience to you. Whatever that means. And you're going to be on the path. You'll be on the journey to following God. This life is a race. A race that will require endurance. It's not a short sprint. It's a long race. Some of us get out quicker than others. Some of us get to the finish line quicker than others. But some of us have to endure. Some of us get to the 95 or 100 or 120. And so, you know, some of you are going, hey, I'm 60, 70. I'm getting close to the finish line. You don't know. You don't know. Some of us are like 20, you know. I'm going, man, I got a long way before the finish line's coming up on me. You don't know. Finish line could be right around the door. My finish line could be tomorrow. Yours could too. So the question is, have you run the race in such a way that has shown endurance, that you would encourage others through your testimony? Have you pressed on? So I'm not going to end today with some catchy phrase, but I want to end today with three verses to encourage us to do this. The first one is found in 1 Corinthians. It says this, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul's not saying, look, you're all running and only one of you are going to get the prize. That's not what he's saying. He's saying each one of you have an opportunity to run the race and win a prize. It's your race to run, he's saying. It's your race to endure. Don't relent. Don't give in. Go for it. Go for it. Like, you want to win. He says again in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. This is a verse for me one year, and it was challenging. He says this. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You want to talk about it? Just stop right there for a second, because there's some good advice. Because sometimes we let the past direct the future. And Paul's saying, drop the past, focus on the future. Where are you going, not where you've been? He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. You want reason? There it is. He says, press on to win the prize. Because, you know, when we get to heaven, God's going to hand out rewards to those who ran well. One of those rewards is going to be the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Who doesn't want to hear that? Who doesn't want to be commended for a job well done? And I want to remind you that the race doesn't start when you turn a certain age. The race starts when you make a decision to follow Christ. And the last one I want to share with you today is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 11. He says to Timothy, you, however, know about all my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, and what kinds of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet, we could put a but here, because I love it when but God steps into things. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. If that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what else will. If that doesn't encourage you to endure whatever you're going to meet, whatever you're going through, I don't know what else to tell you. Because I can't rescue you. Your friends can't rescue you. Your family can't rescue you. But God can and will rescue you. Look at what Paul endured. Just that last verse is just basically a summary of what we've just talked about today. All the things that he suffered. And that's only that's a short list. He didn't even mention the prison and the shipwrecks and the almost drowning. And he wasn't just stoned once, he bit by a snake. I mean, come on! The guy's a miracle. You go, Gron, I'm not a miracle. You know what? If you're not a miracle, it's because you're not letting God work through you. It's because you've turned away. It's because you're not willing to endure. Because God will use those who are willing to be used. He will. So we just need to do that. We need to run the race, endure the trial, and know that the Lord will be there in and through it all. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's going to walk right there through us, and he's going to rescue us. And you go, Ron, Paul died. Yeah, he won the prize. I think Paul's going to be one of those guys in heaven with one of the biggest crowns, one of the greatest rewards. I think Paul is going to be one of those guys in heaven that the people are gathered around to say, tell me your story. Tell me about the glory of God in your life. And I can promise you, I'm going to be one of those people sitting in the audience wanting to get up close and hear how Paul did it. And I hope that I can give that same sort of testimony. It might not be as great as Paul's, but my hope is that I run the race. And my hope for all of you is the same, that you run the race. That you endure, that you press on. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Paul's example. We've talked a lot about Paul, but Barnabas was right by his side. We praise you for that brother who stood by him through it all. He could have encouraged Paul to walk away. And we know that Barnabas was an encourager by nature. That's what his name meant. So I'm sure that he was saying, Paul, come on, let's go, let's go. You can do amazing things when we're willing to step into your plan, to endure the hard things, to keep talking. Lord, give us the opportunities to do that today, this week. Help us to continue to speak about the message of Easter. It's still relevant. Even though Easter was last week, Easter's every week. And we get to tell that story. Thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity you'll present this week. And give us the endurance we need. We're asking for the strength that you can provide to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.